Lance Hubmeier.
If you're going to go stick your head in the sand like that, get out of the sport.
Mike Coppinger.
It's creating a huge mess. It's absurd.
No, you're wrong. So
the only seems like a cash grab.
You need to turn up and you need to be on it.
We just started going at it.
You got to go eat.
The Pug and Cop Boxing Show on The Athletic.
This is Mike Coppinger alongside Lance Pugmire, and we are back with another episode of the Pug and Cop Boxing Show. And today I'm going to school Lance Pugmire on the pound for pound list, and we're going to give you the real rankings and bait that and chop that up. Plus, we're going to be joined by future Hall of Famer, the Filipino Flesh, Nonito Donaire, to preview his fight against Nordin Ubali on Saturday on Showtime, as Donaire once again looks to become a champion at 118 pounds. Plus, much, much more. Obviously, a lot going on in the sport right now. So let's get right into it now. First off, before we started recording, we have producer Cam taunting my New York Knicks. And if you're listening now, the Knicks probably have already beaten the Atlanta Hawks, so nothing to worry about. But as we're recording right now, I'm getting ready for the Knicks against the Atlanta Hawks. Trae Young, of course, with the dagger the other night, but it's all right. Mitchell Robinson might be back. We're going to be all right, Cam. Don't you think?
I mean, there's a potential that it happens, but you were just so sour when I brought it up. I said not only were the Knicks smacked, but they were shush simultaneously. So I'm curious if it's going to be vice versa, if it's going to be shushed first and then smacked tonight.
I mean, look, you heard Derrick Rose. He said, you want to talk shit? We're going to have the hostile environment. I think this is going to be New York Knicks basketball tonight. You know, back to the glory days of the 90s with Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley. No layup line. No layups allowed. So, by the way, if you're a Knicks fan, if you're not, shame on you. We have a great Knicks oral history podcast over at The Athletic right now. You can check out
Shattered.
That's right. Shattered. There's a free plug. Wasn't even supposed to plug that one. But, you know, got to do it. Love the Knicks. So, we have the Knicks ready to get back into it. And then we have my Washington football team back at OTAs right now, Cam. And they are ready and raring to go. Fitzmagic already has the swagger turned on. I think they're going to go, and this sounds weird to say because now it's 17 games. I think they're going to go 10-7. That's my prediction. 10-7.
With as weak as the NFC East appears to be this year, and you're going to get reports of and people saying about what we're discussing now, but the Giants, they just drafted this wide receiver. They have a great core, and Daniel Jones is going to make that big leap, and then Dak Prescott returns. Nothing's promised. What is promised is magic, and that's what Fitzmagic brings. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be a double-digit win season for Washington. They did have to part ways. They did have to cut the trappings, and that's to the Eagles' benefit. My favorite team, because Ryan Kerrigan is now in that teal-green uniform. And I think it's going to be interesting when Fitzmagic drops back and he really feels that aura emitting from him, and he feels he can change the dynamics of this game, and then Ryan Kerrigan just flats him.
Man, I really hate to hear that. I love Kerrigan, one of my all-time favorites. But, you know, I'm glad he's getting an opportunity now. He was not getting any playing time behind those monsters, Chase Young and Montez Sweat. We have Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, even Matt Ioannidis. So good for Kerrigan. Lance, you're San Diego. I was gonna say San Diego Chargers. Sorry,
San Diego
to open up old
and,
wounds.
Yeah, LA Chargers. Yes,
I was
and,
just calling
and
the San
Phoenix
Diego
Suns, Mike. I mean, you guys sound like
Phoenix Suns. I've never heard this one
listen,
before. Lance.
Listen,
whoa,
you
whoa,
guys,
whoa!
I lived in Phoenix for eight years, so I
it sounds
I
like
actually,
a, it sounds like a bandwagon jump from Lance Pugmire.
No,
I want to
no.
hear this.
Hey, I was at the game last year. Look at me. You can find footage from Staples Center as well last year. I was at the game Suns at
Clark. Right. Let's canvas over the footage to find Lance Pugmire in the stands. Yeah.
But let me say this. You guys are the East Coast version of me and all my friends out here, because here I am, a Suns backer, a Padres backer, and a Chargers backer. And I am repeatedly going head-to-head with Dodgers fans, Lakers fans, and Rams fans out here, day in, day out. And it's just like, I mean, sometimes it's like, I'm blocking phone numbers, you know, there's F-bombs flying back and forth, and that's the way sports should be, right?
By the way, Lance, I don't know if I told you this yet or if we discussed this, but the Washington football team, hopefully the future Washington Red Wolves, they host the LA Chargers in Washington opening day. I mean, we might have to go to that.
I'm telling you, I circled it on the calendar because I want to take my dad out to D.C. and I'm trying to make it happen. But my son starts high school football this year, and he's going to have a game on that Thursday. But I think I can make it work, Mike. And if I can, we'll definitely do that. That will be another bet. That's another bet.
That's definitely another bet. I'm going to go double or nothing after the Josh Taylor win. and then we have Rigondeaux fighting Casimiro. I think that's going to be another bet too. So maybe many bets. But look, I'm already cashing in on Eddie Hearn. I'm still waiting on maybe you can collect my money from Eddie Hearn this weekend, you know?
I'll ask him for the $500 that can pay for my room, because I think the rooms are $500 a night at Mandalay Bay.
There you go. You can get that $500 from Eddie Hearn. and look, September 18th is the 19th. That's the opening day game for the Washington football team in FedEx Fields against the Chargers. The day before is the proposed day for Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant in Las Vegas. So we might have to go straight from Vegas to Washington. Like, just take I don't even know how we do that. I guess we have to take a red eye, right?
It can be done. It can be done.
Yeah, so hopefully we get a 4 p.m. start instead of 1 p.m. start, so we can make that. But look, lots of boxing to talk about. First off, I want to get into the pound-for-pound debate, Lance, because you and I were debating a little bit offline. Well, not offline. We were debating online, but not on the pod, about just where Josh Taylor fits and how everything shakes out. So let's just run through it quick. Okay. All right, so you and I do agree on 1 and 2, and I think anyone
wait a
doesn't.
Minute. Should we start from 10 or 1?
What do you think, Cam?
I like the grand reveal idea. So start at 10 and then go to 1.
Because it's a big debate about who gets in at 10.
All right, fair enough. I'm gonna go with my 10, and then you go with your 10, and vice versa. All right, my number 10 is Juan Francisco Estrada, who I thought Chocolatito beat. I thought he got a bit of a gift. Great fighter, though. That's why he's in the top 10. I have number 10.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it sounds like that's going to be another point of debate, even though we haven't even started listing fighters really here, Mike. But look, my number 10 is 3-division world champion, Vasily Lomachenko, who, has just lost to Teofimo Lopez. But I think, you know, the respect of this distinguished career, what he's done, just the way he fights, I believe he has to be in the top 10. Based on all of his accomplishments that were, you know, and it was, look, a close fight against Teofimo Lopez, who I have up a little bit higher. So to me, Loma, who returns to the ring June 26th in Las Vegas, is someone who deserves to be on that list.
Yeah, and look, Nakatani is a worthy opponent. So with a win over Nakatani, he certainly can move up that list if he does it in impressive fashion.
Now, real quick. Yeah, who do you have? Wait, you have him on the list?
I have Lomachenko number 9, yeah. So okay. I don't have any issue with you having him 10. You know, we're right there. Who do you have 9?
Number 9, I have Juan Francisco Estrada, who I understand what you're saying about, you know, that you thought Chocolate, you were there, right? You were right.
I was not there, no.
Oh, okay. But I mean, you watched it closely. I mean, the thing is that it was a very close fight. He got the win, though. I don't want to like revisit that and say that like I'm the ultimate judge. He won the fight. Chocolatito will have an opportunity to avenge that quote unquote loss. And at this point, I see Estrada, just the, you know, his fervent fighting style, just a balls out fighter. I really like what he brings to the ring. What he's done against guys like Sarangvisai has been very entertaining, and I think he's also a worthy member of our top 10.
Okay, so moving on, number 8, I have Chocolatito. You know, obviously one of the all-time greats, future Hall of Famer. We kind of wrote him off, or at least I did, after the Rungvisai knockout, and now he's back. So that's good to see.
So happy to have him back, right, Mike? I mean, because, look, when he got knocked out, it looked like this may be the end of this guy. Sometimes guys don't come back from that type of knockout. But for him to heal himself and then put on that type of performance that he did against Estrada on the heels of winning that belt was so significant, and so enjoyable to see, because you really respect a guy like that. I mean, this guy has dedicated his life to fighting, and you definitely see that each and every time he walks into the ring. My number 8 is the former fully unified cruiserweight champion, one of your favorite fighters, Alexander Usyk, who now seems to be in position to fight for the heavyweight title in August against Anthony Joshua.
Yeah, I think Usyk is wildly overrated. I think he was a great cruiserweight, but this is pound for pound we're talking about, and he's been utterly unimpressive at heavyweight so far. Look, he beats Joshua, then he's firmly on the list, but I'm pretty confident Joshua's going to knock him out, and then he'll be off the list for good, yeah?
Yeah, I want you to just elaborate on that a little bit too, because it's like, you know, I respect your opinion fully, Mike, and I just want you to be able to say why you, I mean, what have you seen so far? I know he seems undersized at heavyweight. Is that the ultimate thing? Because we know this guy can fight. We know he can box.
I mean, yeah, he definitely can box. He has a great jab. He has great footwork. Look, cruiserweight is ultimately a division which is pretty much a barren wasteland where a lot of guys go that, you know, don't know really where they fit. You don't usually get the best talent at cruiser for that reason. Usually the guys either go to heavyweight or light heavyweight. I guess maybe they go to bridgerweight now. Thanks, Mauricio. Yeah. But look, I think he's a great talent. I would have him certainly in that 11 to 20 range. But for the top 10 for me, I need to see more against a guy like Derek Chisora. So until further notice, I'm not going to have him in the top 10. I'm going to have him in that second tier.
Let's step aside right now for a break.
My number 7 is Teofimo Lopez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, you know, great victory over Lomachenko. I have Teofimo up a little bit higher. My number 7 is the heavyweight champion of the world, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury, who has, you know, redeemed himself so incredibly from the low points of his life and has come back so strongly and is really... I think you can say right now, Mike, I know Canelo is the number one pound for pound fighter in the world. I think that Tyson Fury is the number one boxing personality in the world. I mean, this guy, he walked into the Virgin Hotels on Saturday and the whole room exploded. And I mean, I think that's exactly what, you know, a heavyweight champion and someone like Tyson Fury, it's so important to have these types of individuals in this sport because he's just a magnetic personality that basically all sports fans know. I mean, this guy can start talking on ESPN and whether you're a soccer fan, baseball fan, whatever, you know who the heavyweight champion of the world is. It's Tyson Fury, and you're always going to want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I mean, Fury is one of the best personalities in all of sports, really. He's a great ambassador for boxing, and he's everything you want in a heavyweight champion, like you mentioned. He's a great fighter. He has great charisma and really gets the conversation going. I hope Fury's around for a long time. I have him much higher, and I think Fury, like other heavyweights, gets penalized for being a heavyweight because I think he's definitely one of the best fighters in the world. So I have him a lot higher, but we'll get to that. So number 6 on my list, and this is where it starts getting really tough because my opinion alone, 1, 2, and 3 are pretty clear for me at least. Mm-hmm. And then 4 through 7 are pretty interchangeable, I think. You know, I have Teofimo Lopez 7. I have Terrence Crawford 6. And maybe it's a little low. I'm not quite sure. I do think Crawford's an excellent talent. Like, but again, he just has not faced anybody. And I think resume is a part of this too. It's at least a part of it. I know he has titles in 3 weight classes, but I mean, who did he beat for any of them? I mean, 135, he beat Ricky Burns for a title. I know he's undisputed. So he was undisputed at 135, right? So right, I'm trying to remember who else he beat.
140, he was undisputed. Yeah.
Well, 140, he was definitely undisputed. I'm trying to remember if he had other titles at 135. But look, he beat Gamboa 135. He beat the guys like Thomas Delorme. Like it's like okay, he beat
Ndongo at 140.
I'm 40. Joyce Ndongo, one of the weakest champions of all time. You know, so
he beat Postal.
Terrence Crawford. Postal is a good win. I won't deny that. So that is a good win. I just think that, look, Crawford may be the number one fighter in the world for all I know. I just haven't had proven yet in the ring. And we saw a similar thing, I think, play out with Triple G where everyone was saying Triple G was the boogeyman. He can't be touched. Then he steps up to fight Danny Jacobs, life and death. Same thing with Canelo, both fights. So you just never know with these guys. You know, competition needs to bring you the best out of you. Maybe Crawford's even better than we think, but we're going to have to see it in the ring. Who's your number 6?
Yeah, my number 6 is Josh Taylor, who now stands as undisputed 140-pound champion. Obviously a great victory. I moved him up from number 9 on my list, so he made a strong leap. I wasn't willing to put him that much higher, but there's no doubt about it, Mike. I mean, this guy is another electric personality, and his skill set is exactly what I think fight fans want to see. I mean, he's aggressive. He pursues the knockout. He wants to hurt you, and he's got the gift of gab, no doubt about it. I love what he brings with his mind games. And like we spoke on the earlier episode this week, I mean, he clearly got in the head of his opponent, Jose Ramirez. And, you know, this is a guy whose upside is very strong. And look, I mean, I think ultimately, the great thing about Josh Taylor, Teofimo Lopez, and Terrence Crawford is that they're all in position to fight each other, especially with the Josh Taylor kind of waving the banner saying that he wants all these fights. So that's the great thing about the list. That's a great thing about where boxing stands as we move into the top five, pound for pound in the sport.
Right. Yeah. And when I did this list, I think it was yesterday or something, I originally had Taylor number six, I think. Okay. Or no, sorry. Maybe I had a number seven.
Okay.
So again, I think these four through seven for me are interchangeable pretty much, but I do have Taylor number five on my list. And the reason I ended up putting him in front of Crawford, whether you agree or disagree, is that if you look at his resume, I mean, it's like, man, this guy, I think the combined record of his title wins or something is like 196-1, or his wins. I'm not sure, but he's now beat Victor Postol, Ivan Baranchuk, Jose Ramirez, and Regis Progre. I mean, that is a run.
Yeah.
And he passes the eye test too. I mean, this guy can fight on the inside. He can fight on the outside. He's a puncher. He likes to bang and trade. So, yeah, for me, number five, and I think this guy's a big UK star in the making, if not already. Moving on, number four, I have Errol Spence Jr.
Wait a minute. My number five was Teofimo, Mike.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, I just, you know, to me, Teofimo gets a slight nod. Again, because of beating Lomachenko, I mean, you talk about a boogeyman, and I think Lomachenko was kind of like the ultimate boogeyman, given where he stood and his, you know, the things that were being said about him. And Teofimo Lopez, you know, sticking to his guns and staying true to his father's pronouncements that he would win this fight, did absolutely that. He showed no fear, steps into the ring, beats this guy up a little bit, and, you know, gets the victory over a guy that not a lot of people thought that he was capable of defeating. So I think that Teofimo Lopez, again, like Josh Taylor, saying like I want to be the guy who is setting the tone for the sport. You know, the best need to fight the best. He's got this mandatory to deal with on June 19th against George Kambosos Jr. But I think after that, you're going to see Teofimo Lopez in another big fight by the end of the year.
Yeah, he's a great talent, and I can't wait to see what he can do, especially if he gets Devin Haney, as he's calling for right now. That'll be a monster fight. So let's see what happens there, Lance. But yeah, I have number four, Errol Spence Jr., and certainly Spence is going to have a chance to establish that ranking and maybe even improve on it with a win against Manny Pacquiao. So obviously Pacquiao is still formidable, so real shot for Spence there. Reason I have Spence number four and ahead of Crawford, because I know a lot many don't have him in Crawford, but look at his run. Sean Porter, very quality win. He beat Mikey Garcia, shut him out 12-0. He also has a nice win over Danny Garcia back in December. So I think Spence deserves that number four ranking. But again, as I said many times, four through seven, kind of interchangeable for me.
The body of work, no doubt, Mike, I think is more impressive than the recent body of work by Spence, and especially coming back from his, the car crash where we thought maybe his career was in great peril. So impressive, so great to have him back, and so awesome that he'll be fighting Manny Pacquiao. I think that's exactly what he needs to elevate. And like I said, I think that he's, you know, it's his mission to stand as the top American boxer of them all. And he's very close. I mean, you may even think that he's there right now. So I just think like this is not supposed to enter pound for pound, but I would like to have seen him be a little bit more earnest in his push for Terrence Crawford, because he is the A side of that fight. And I would want him to say, like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, even if it's, you know, take a little bit less on the purse cut, but to be able to give the fans the fight that is there for the taking after he beat Danny Garcia. It was there to be made. And it seems like he kind of shied away from that. I don't like that. You know, I want the guys like Teofimo, Josh Taylor, Tyson Fury, you know, the guys who are saying, like, bring me this fight right now.
What about Terrence Crawford, though, Lance? I mean, Crawford's saying that he doesn't even need
Errol
Spence.
Yes, that's a great point.
He's actually Terrence is more defiant.
No, Terrence is very guilty on that, too. And I don't think that Terrence, again, should ever utter the words that, you know, like whoever steps in the ring is a significant challenge, because we've seen this time and time again, and he's basically destroying these guys. I think, you know, look, I was there watching that same fight that you were against Mean Machine, and he did go down in that fight. And I think that that's probably the one of those moments that kind of sticks in your craw as you drop him in the rankings a little bit. And I understand that. I just feel like this guy, you know, standing as a three division champion, being undefeated, you know, kind of in trouble with Top Rank. He can't, he's kind of like barred and prevented from getting those fights. But it, to me, he uses that as too much of a crutch. But I just think his overall talent with those, having power in the two hands, just showing the skill. And like I said, gun to my head, Crawford versus Spence, who am I picking? I'm going to pick Terrence Crawford. So that's why he's higher up on my list than Spence.
Yeah. For sure. And then, yeah, you said you have, who's your number four?
Spence.
And then number three, you have number three, you have Crawford, right?
Anaway.
Oh, Anaway is three for you.
Yes.
Okay. I have Anaway two on my list. Oh, sorry, I don't want to jump ahead. Sorry, but.
No, it's fine.
You have Anaway three. All right, my three is Tyson Fury. I think Fury is one of the, at least one of the elite talents in the world. I think him, Canelo, and Inoue are in a class of their own. I mean, Fury, talk about beating Vladimir Klitschko, knocking out Wilder. So he could box going backward, going forward. You know, he has head movement. He has defense. I think he's the total package. I think he's an all-time great, and he's going to prove that over the next couple of years. Hopefully,
you like him. Wilder. You like, yeah. Wait, I mean, we really haven't talked about this too much, Mike. But I think it's a perfect opportunity. What's your thoughts on the trilogy fight against Wilder? I was talking to Ben Davidson in Vegas, and he says one thing that he used to train Tyson. He said one thing I feel for sure is that we are going to see a different version of Deontay Wilder. He's going to lay caution to the wind. He knows that his killer right hand is his best thing. And from the opening bell, he's just going to be throwing that hand as often as possible to try to get Tyson Fury out of there. And he did knock him down twice in the first fight. How do you see the fight playing out, and how do you see Tyson Fury winning?
I hope Ben is right, because that's what Wilder needs to do, and that's going to make it a great fight. But if he does do that, then he's got to be worried about Fury countering him and knocking him out too. Because Fury can punch. And I know for a long time people, you know, the kind of the book on Fury was that he couldn't punch really, but we've seen that he can, and he's now sitting down on his punches more. I mean, this is a 6'9", 270-80-pound man, so of course he can punch. Just a matter of sitting down on the shots, which he's doing. I think Fury's going to knock Wilder out. I think it might be early. But wow. I just think Fury, I mean, I watched Fury train last week. He is just completely turned on right now and, you know, dialed in and ready to go. You know, he knows it's his time right now. He's ready. So, you know, number three for me. And then your number three is Inoue, right?
Yes.
And then your number two is Crawford.
Yes.
All right. My number two is Inoue. And I think the monster is just a freakish talent. Who probably gets a little underappreciated because he's so small at 118 pounds. And he's going to be fighting on June 19th against Michael Dasmarinas of the Philippines. Unfortunately, you know, we were supposed to get that Casimiro fight. Casimiro is not fighting Rigondo. So I'm not really sure what this fight's going to tell us about Inoue, but I think he's an all-time talent and a generational guy. So number two for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, a four-division champion, a guy that, again, has shown incredible skill with both hands. You know, has a fight of the year in his resume against Nonito Donaire, and, you know, look, has captivated an entire nation's attention, and now is bringing that to America. And I know when I talked to him earlier this year, you know, he gets it. He understands knockouts are what sell. If I'm going to make it in America, I need to knock guys out. And he's absolutely right, and he's very confident in his ability to do so. And I think it does set up nicely, Mike. I know he's got a mandatory to deal with now, but the Casimiro Rigondo winner probably gets to Inoue next, don't you think?
Yeah, you'd have to hope so. Man, imagine my man Rigo going against Inoue.
What would you do?
Listen,
your head would explode.
As much as I love both guys, as much as I really love Rigo and have a soft spot for him, I just can't imagine anyone beating Inoue right now. You know, right. It's too late for him, probably. But speaking of my sentimental favorites, man, it was great to see Hammer and Hank Lundy back. I love that guy. Great character. Gave a nice performance, a nice account of himself against Cepeda in a very boring fight. But a nice account of himself nonetheless at 37 years old and coming on 3 weeks' notice.
Yeah, how come you like him so much?
He's just funny. You know, he comes in and throws bombs. And well, when I say throws bombs, he's not the hardest puncher, but he lets the shots go. He likes to load up in shots and wing shots, and he's just funny as hell. And I've covered him years and years ago, back in like the early 2010s. So, yeah, Hammer. And plus that nickname, Hammer and Hank. How can you not love it?
Oh, yeah, that's great, great stuff.
But obviously you and I are both sane, and it's an easy call that we have Canelo number one. So really nothing to explain there.
Yeah, I mean, look, Canelo is at the top of his game right now. He's trying, I think all the fans like their fighters to do. He's pressing to become stand as an undisputed champion, the first ever at super middleweight. This guy understands the sport. He understands the history of the sport. He grasps everything that he is supposed to be about, and he is reaching for that. And I think that's incredibly admirable. And that's exactly why he reigns supreme when it comes to boxing.
Yeah. And speaking of, a guy who once reigned supreme atop that pound for pound list, Nonito Donaire. He had a long run at the top of number one. He was the fighter of the year. And now he's trying to gain back what was once his 118-pound championship. That's on Saturday against Nordin Ubali on Showtime at the War Grounds in Carson. And we're going to be joined by Donaire right now. First, I'm letting you know, good to see you again. Great to have you back in a big fight in the U.S. You had a big fight, of course, against the monster in Japan back in 2019. But this has got to be your biggest U.S. fight in a long time, no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's been a while. So, you know, it's been all around the place. But, you know, I'm just happy that things are happening now.
Right. And this fight, of course, was originally scheduled for December. Then there were some issues with COVID, well, disputed issues with COVID.
I know about that.
Our man Lance had the same issues too. So I know there is, you know, obviously a long wait for you now going from December to May, but at least you now get to fight with a crowd at the War Grounds. And man, we've had some awesome fights there recently. We had the Ruiz Ariola fight was a war. Nery Figueroa was a great fight. And now you're going to be back there. I know you've had some good nights there. You've had some bad nights there. Is that one of your favorite venues to fight in?
I mean, I've fought there a lot. You know, I've fought there a couple of times. I mean, well, a few times, several times. Only I lost there once, you know. So it has a lot of memories for me. That's where I fought most of the time and captured the fight of the year. It all happened in that venue.
Right. And I believe the loss to Walters was there. Is what I was right. I think you fought Walters maybe there, and also the guy from Japan, Nishioka. I think it was Nishioka.
Nishioka Matebula. Somebody else.
Montiel?
But I fought there a couple of times.
That Matebula fight was fun. That guy was like twice your size. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
But hey, look, now that you're fighting at 118, you are, for the most part, fighting guys your size once again. You know, you went all the way up to 126. The last time we saw you out there again, like we mentioned, was against the Monster. And it was a great fight. One fight of the year. I know it wasn't a win for you, but you were fighting one of the two best fighters in the world, pound for pound, and you did break his orbital bone. So how confident are you feeling going into this one?
I've gotten to acquire back the necessity mentality, the mentality of becoming one of the best again. You know, one thing that I've learned going to that sparring or going to that fight was I was pretty much sparring lightly every single time. You know, when I'm there, I'm in tremendous shape. One thing I've figured out in that fight was there was no killer instinct. When I hit him hard and hurt him, I just kind of rolled through and just was just kind of figuring things out rather than I've always done in the past was to go out for kill. You know, now I'm going in training and I'm just going all out. I'm no longer that person where I'm just kind of working and just getting in shape. You know, now I'm going back into the way the old training was back in the days, you know, when we go out compete with everybody and tear each other's heads off, you know. And that's something that I've acquired after that fight, you know, just that killer instinct and just that viciousness all over again.
We'll be right back after this. Is that more than anything, Nonito, as you talk about, you know, what motivates you, what do you have to prove at this point? Because I think you can make the case as a four division world champion right now, you're already a Hall of Famer. Do you feel that way? And what sparks your motivation?
Well, you know, just the competitiveness, you know, knowing that maybe at the age of 40 or 45, you know, where it's not going to be the same, you know, I don't want to be in a point where I go out of it because of the fact that everybody else is telling me to, or just mm-hmm. saying that you have nothing to prove. Well, I have something to prove. I'm excited every morning to get up. I'm excited, you know, to go into the gym. I wake up and get motivated, you know, and that's the biggest difference, is that it doesn't matter how long or how old I am, as long as I'm competing very well, you know, I'm at that point where, man, I'm excited. I mean, the moment that I'm not, then yeah, that's a red flag right there. But the real question really is, you know, how am I competing against all of these guys at the young age, at their young age, you know, and I'm just competing with them and being, and, you know, giving them a hard time or giving them defeat, you know, and I'm still here, you know, and so that's my excitement. That's my motivation, you know.
Absolutely. And I mean, that goes back, you've been so consistent with that from day one. I mean, Mike made the reference to that July 2007 fight against a guy who looked unbeatable at that point, Vic Darchinian. You take him out and you time and again have been willing to step in there against these guys who look unbeatable. And, you know, yeah, the results may be mixed. You know, Rigondeaux, tough test. No one wanted to fight this guy. In a way, not a lot of people are jumping in the ring against him. And now you go against this Frenchman, Ubali. What can you tell us about him? And is it the line of thinking that has remained consistent with you?
He's a very technically sound guy, you know, from coming from the amateur, you know, he knows his boxing well, you know, he has good speed, you know, decent power, you know, just very tricky and intelligent fighter, you know, but, you know, with my experience, I've seen everybody, every type of fighter, every, you name it, from the most powerful to the slickest, the fastest, I've seen them all. And I know I have all the tools in my experience to counter each and every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've been really impressed with Ubali, honestly. I think he's a really good fighter. He's like a tank, you know, he's kind of small, but he's like big and strong. He tore through Inoue. Obviously, Inoue's brother is not nearly the monster, but he tore through him on the undercard. He impressed me against Warshi Warren. And I think, you know, if you beat him, this is going to be a big win for you.
Well, I don't think there's any question to my mind of how I can get this guy. You know, I know I'm taking in that belt and it's going to be my belt. It was my belt and it's going to be my belt. I just know how to get this guy, you know. He's never faced a guy with my power, you know. I mean, you know, me and Inoue was going back and forth. I'm the one that was, you know, that hurt him most in terms of orbital bone, you know, broken in places. You know, he got the best of me because he did fight well, but that goes to show how powerful I am in this division, and he's never been hit as hard as I'm gonna hit him Saturday.
No, I mean, look, there's no doubting that I would say you're one of the best punchers in 118 pound history. You know, if not the best, I mean, you're an all time puncher there. And Ubali, I think we know this is going to be a war because Ubali, he's kind of stationary. He likes to stand right in the pocket there and come straight forward. There's nothing really special about what he does. He does it very well, but he comes straight forward, you know, high guard, tries to like, you know, kind of like bulldoze you, and you have lots of angles. You dart in and out. You're obviously the bigger puncher. You're a lot faster than him. So I don't think there's any secret to how this fight's going to go, right?
Well, I, you know, for me, you know, when Inoue said he was going to be making me run, and I'm the one that got him to run or to step back, you know, I think that the moment Ubali faces and tastes the power, I think he'll think twice on coming forward and being a tank. You know, I break people down. And, you know, that's me going into this fight very confident, you know. But again, anything can happen in boxing. All I know is I'm very confident in winning this fight.
Yeah, and right now you're about a 2-1 underdog to win this fight. Do you feel disrespected by that? Because you don't seem to have any doubt at all that you're going to win.
No, I don't have doubt at all. I mean, I don't, you know, everybody has their own opinion. you know, they said the same thing with worse with the Inoue fight being able to only last one round to four round, and that obviously didn't happen. So, you know, I don't, you know, everybody has their own opinion. Everybody has their own ways of looking at things. I have my own, and I know what I'm capable of.
Now, we don't offer betting advice on this podcast, but Nonito, you're telling the listeners if they want to make some money this weekend, they better hammer you, huh?
Yes. Put everything on it. It's going to be my side. It's going to be my victory. So you guys are going to double up.
A lot of times, Mike, and you know this, you know, from reporting all these years as well, you can tell a lot by an athlete's reaction to your question. And I love each time that you've brought up the how imposing his opponent is, he's remained straight-faced, like, bring it on. You know, you can see Nonito, how determined you are for this
fight. That's 20 years of boxing right there, Lance.
Yes, exactly.
Professional boxing.
Well, and I think part of it, too, I mean, we just saw this actually on the golf course with Phil Mickelson winning the PGA. Age, older age, is a motivation. Like, I can still hang with these kids. Can you talk about that?
Well, to me, I'm a young kid at heart, a young kid in my body, my mind, you know, and I'm competing with everybody, and I'm just getting better. You know, to me, it just doesn't post in my head. There's no age in my head. You know, all I know is that it's just me and this guy going mm-hmm. into it. You know, I don't really post the fact that I'm 38, turning 39, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't even think about it. You know, I just go in there and I spar the best guys out there and seek to fight the best fighter out there. And it's just exciting to me. And I think that's my motivation, is that I don't have any age in my head.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because it's actually in play.
Real quick, Lance, while we're on the topic of age, I want to ask, you know, your countryman, the legendary Manny Pacquiao, he's going to take his own tough challenge at 42 years old, fighting Errol Spence Jr. I mean, talk about guys going for it at an advanced age. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, because I've been to it and I'm still into it. You know, it's the make it or break it kind of, you know, because, I mean, he's already nothing to prove, you know, but he's challenging those guys, who are the best in the division, and you got to give credit to that, you know. And I think that he still has all the capabilities of winning fights, you know, and I support him 100% when it comes down to all of that, you know, just how much he's motivated, how much he's willing to go in there and, you know, and I think he's the same way as I am. You know, we just don't think of age. We just go out there and perform.
I think maybe it's not the word age maybe doesn't apply as much as the word experience. And so this actually applies in both of the fight main events we'll see this weekend, both in your fight and Jorge Linares, the former lightweight champion, going against young Devin Haney. How does a fighter use his experience to, you know, take advantage of miscues that you a younger fighter may commit? What are you looking for, you know, in a younger fighter that, you know, he doesn't know all these different tricks of the trade that I know?
Well, the funny thing is, Ubali is not a younger fighter. He's 34 years old.
Yeah,
you know?
True. Good point.
That, the only thing is he's just had less fight, just has less experience. That's pretty much what it is. You know, just, mm-hmm. you know, going back into it, just less experience, you know? And I think it all comes down to motivation, you know, and that's what usually, champions succumb to, is when their motivation and inspiration diminish, that they don't take care of themselves well enough and they don't train as hard, or they're just not motivated and focused, you know, and that allows them to be to fall down, you know. But yeah. I've been there. I've fallen and I've gotten up. I've fallen and I've gotten up, and I came to the point that, you know, I'm gonna stand tall, and this is where I am now. So it's just, it's not so much as anything else, but experience in my part.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what would it mean for you, Nonito, to come back to this place and to win a championship fight and walk out of there with another belt at this point in your career?
It's sweet, you know, because I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for anything else. There's nothing else to prove. You know, I'm doing it for my own personal, joy and motivation, that I can make this happen, and I will make it happen, you know, and it's just all for me. And I think that's the sweetest victory.
Yeah. I know, Nonito, that you were dabbling with the Tony Robbins seminars, the fire walks. Are you still doing that?
I mean, I've done and you know, read a lot of books now in terms of self discovery, self improvement. You know, not just Tony, but other communities out there, just where I can learn and where I can grow is where I'm gonna be. You know, and it allowed me to just keep growing. You know, this is why I'm still fighting now, because I can motivate myself. I can create something of me to wake up in the morning and not drag my feet to go run. You know, I wake up out of a nap and go to the gym and not drag my feet and sigh that, oh, another day. Now I'm like, hell yeah. How can I reach the 5.0 level, you know, every day? You know, I have a watch that tells me if I'm working at the optimum level. And 5.0 is my optimum level. That's my goal each day, you know. So, you know, it helped me out a lot to have self-discovery, to have self-knowledge, and to put it into action, you know. And I'm constantly reading now. I'm constantly learning, not just my habit, not just any other way. How can I relearn something to better myself, you know? So. And now you'll see Saturday what I have relearned that I have forgotten to relearn it. And you'll see the difference in me coming into this fight.
So what's the last thing you read or watched that really touched you?
Let's see. You know, I've just been listening to a lot of podcasts and stuff like that, you know. Not just in the mindset, but in spirituality as well, because I think it, you know, mind, body, and spirit, you have to align mind, body, and spirit. You know, your body can be very strong, but if your mind is not there, it only can be as strong as your mind can be. But the mind can only wander without the spirit and the faith and understanding, to align the mind, body, and spirit. That's how you can become so much more powerful as a human being, as a fighter. Because now there is no limitation.
Yeah, and you've been such a humble guy over the years, Nonito. All these great fights that you have been participated in, and you know the account that you've given of yourself each time. And when I mentioned the Hall of Fame, I didn't really see much reaction there. But in your mind, do you feel like you've already clinched that spot, or do you never accept it and use it as kind of like a motivation that you still need to have things to do to get there?
I'm grateful for each day, and I've always just been a guy that lives in the present. You know, whatever I am now, I am, you know, and whatever I will be in the future, I'll celebrate. You know, it's not happening now. You know, it's kind of like saying, well, if he did this, he would have won the fight. Well, he didn't win the fight because he didn't do it, because it's what it is now that I count. You know, I'm not a Hall of Fame right now, you know, but in the future I will be. And I know that in fact, in my heart, but I'm not there yet. You know, and I don't look forward to being there until I get there. I'm going to look forward to what I'm doing now, you know, and that's the way I live my life, is celebrating this moment. And when I get there, I'm going to celebrate that Hall of Fame. You know, when I get there, I'm going to celebrate whatever it is that needs to be celebrated. You know, in moments right now, I'm celebrating my discovery of my youth going into this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I will be voting for you. Not only do you deserve it, Onito, but I am scared of Rachel, your wife. I don't want to, you know, face her wrath. So I'm going to make sure I vote for you.
Smart man.
But how are the kids doing? You have two boys, right?
Yeah, no, my wife's been amazing. Not only that, she's been training me with strength and conditioning, speed and explosive, as well as core. But she also got a handle waking up in the morning, making breakfast for the kids, and doing the Zoom call and teaching this kid. I mean, it's amazing what she's doing. You know, the crazy thing is my eldest, you know, actually got accelerated to from second grade to third grade. Now he just got a straight A honor roll today. So my wife's doing really, that's the power of women, is that they just can juggle things left and right while we just kind of stick with one thing and be good at it, you know? Man, but yes, she's been amazing.
That must be what I'm missing, you know. I'm still single, so I dog here for motivation. No, I have that at least. But speaking of motivation, look, I know how much of a passionate guy you are. That would have been hard, I would have to think, for you fighting without fans in December. This must be a much better result now, getting to be in Carson, all the crazy fans there. I know you feed off that.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is I've always been very quiet. You know, as much as I am very funny out there sometimes, I'm very loud out there sometimes. I'm very introverted. You know, I'm the kind of guy that just don't want any noises. You know, with training, there's no music. There's nobody talking. You know, I'm just hearing myself. So I think I would have done well, regardless if there was crowds or not. You know, because I'm there now. You know, and I know I've experienced as well being with a lot of crowds. Like when I fought in the Philippines, 25,000 people, and it does motivate one's body, you know, and one's mind to perform at the pinnacle, of at least for that particular moment of your training, you know, and getting to that fight. But, you know, I've always just been so used to the quiet, you know, when I'm not the kind of guy that just walks around, hang around with everybody because I'm starving and I'm losing weight or whatever it may be. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. I just want to be in my room, just quiet, you know, and even if I'm not losing weight or even if I'm just training here and there, I've always just been very, very quiet. But when I'm out there with people, I'm out there with people wholeheartedly.
Great, Nonito. Well, yeah, I just want to say again, it's going to be such a treat to have you back in the same venue where you have had all these great moments before, and for everyone to be able to reunite and actually see a living, breathing, you know, Hall of Famer fighter who is fighting a real fight, not one of these novelty fights that we're seeing against the YouTubers or stuff. Is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I started covering boxing in 2010. So you're one of the few guys still fighting at a high level that I went from being a fan of to covering now. So Saturday is going to be fun. And lastly, for me, what's your message to Ubali if he's listening?
Be at your best, because anything less, you're going down. You know, it's not a threat. It's not anything. It's just that, you know, I look for the excitement of a great fighter. And I think that you can pull out one of the greatest fight, you know, I wish you the best luck. May both of us be healthy. But aside from that, may the best man win. And regardless of what the outcome is, we can still be friends. You know me.
All right. Hey, we really appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday as you try to once again become 118-pound champion. We truly appreciate the time.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me again. Yeah. Great seeing you guys.
Thanks again to Nonito Donaire. Great stuff as always. Future Hall of Famer and looking to become a champion once again on Saturday on Showtime. Lance, who are we picking, Donaire or Ubali?
How can you not pick Donaire after that? I mean, come on. This guy laid it all out there. He speaks with the confidence at volume 100. And, I mean, he's got so much self-confidence, Mike. I mean, I just believe in this guy now after hearing from him. And again, you can kind of tell from guys, you know, you can look into their eyes, you can kind of see the passion that they're bringing. And Nonito Donaire wants to one time again, at a place where he stood as a world champion all the way back in 2007, to put that belt on again. And if he does, what a special moment for the sport that would be. He would stand as the oldest, oldest active champion in the sport today. And look, let's be honest with it. If anyone deserves it, quote unquote, I think it's someone like Nonito, who's definitely paid his dues. And like we were saying in the interview, time and again, has been willing to step in there with guys that not a lot of others are willing to fight.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a real coin flip fight. So, I mean, I think Ubali is like minus, what do we say? Like minus 200, minus 250. So it's a tough fight for Donaire. You know, he looks great against Inoue, and if he could bring that energy again, he should win. But Ubali's tough, he's strong, and he comes straight forward. I think it's going to be a great fight. Can't wait for it. And, you know, Lance, Donaire, one of the few boxers Richard Schaefer has left. But on Wednesday, John Bones Jones, the UFC champion and all-time great fighter, surprisingly announced that Richard Schaefer is now his advisor. Lance, you're a guy that's covered a lot of MMA as well. What do you think that could mean for trying to get a fight with Francis Ngannou?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, it's going to be for Richard Schaefer. This is a guy who understands exactly what the finances of combat sports are all about. I know Jones had parted ways with his longtime advisor before that. So it's going to be interesting. I'd love to see a meeting. Richard Schaefer knows Dana White. They've had prior conversations, you know, as we were doing some of these crossover events. And so there is going to be a comfort level, but there's also going to be the desire for John Jones, who definitely wants to be earning top dollar for this fight against Nagano. He's made no bones about that, so to speak. You know, he's now got a very effective businessman at his side who understands exactly how much money comes in on a pay-per-view. And, you know, Dana White is who has stood up to many formidable tests over time, has a significant one here in Richard Schaefer.
Right. And before I forget, before we close the show, I just want to mention something I reported earlier this week, and that's that Team USA is sending three pros to the Olympics. That's going to be Keyshawn Davis at 138 pounds, Troy Isley at 165 pounds, and then Duke Reagan at 125 pounds, Lance. So all three of those guys are number one. They were the number one ranked fighters in their weight class. And then they ended up, you know, turning pro after the Olympics were delayed by the pandemic. Not, you know, obviously, for those who follow amateur boxing know that the qualifiers were canceled. So now the IOC has decided that Team USA can send those guys over. So actually, I don't think I've phrased that properly, because the IOC has been allowing that for a while now. Finally, it's Team USA that's allowing it. So, look, a lot of controversy over that. Some people like it, some people don't. But Keyshawn Davis, this seems like Team USA's best chance at a male gold medalist for the first time since Andre Ward in 2004, especially now that he has that pro seasoning.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I mean, look, I mean, boxing needs that. We, you know, the gold medal winners of the past, and maybe it wasn't Andre Ward per se, because it seems like the attention on amateur boxing wasn't exactly what it was back in the day back then. But look, when you look back to Oscar De La Hoya and the momentum that he had heading into this sport as a pro after winning the gold medal, and that incredible story of winning it for his cancer-stricken mother. When you look back on the 1984 Team USA roster, and also 1976 with Sugar Ray Leonard, this helps these young fighters as they enter the pro game. And I know, like you said, some of these guys are fighting as pros already, but it's just going to help with their name recognition. And Team USA definitely needs to accomplish a gold medal. I mean, I did a story within the last year talking about the failings of the 2008 team. And this is a program, the U.S. boxing program has fallen on hard times, with basically the exception of Clarissa Shields. And let's hope that this does mark the revival.
Yeah, it'll be great for the sport, great for the country. And Keyshawn's got to be the best bet, 138 pounds. You know, this guy looks like the real deal and a future star. So let's hope it happens. And that is it. That is our show for today. Please follow along with Lance. He's going to be in Las Vegas for the Devin Haney Jorge Linares fight. That's on The Zone. Follow along with his coverage over at The Athletic. And you can sign up for just $1 a month at theathletic.com/.